Good morning. Welcome to worship. A special welcome to all of you joining us from home. We are blessed that we can be one community in the Spirit together. Let us prepare our hearts and minds for worship with our confession. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Trusting in that promise of grace, I invite you to take a moment of silence for reflection. Most merciful God, we confess we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you, and for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite all who are able to stand for our first hymn.
Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Prepare your ears to hear the word of God.
The first lesson is from Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter. The Lord your God will make you abundantly prosperous in all your undertakings, in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your livestock, and in the fruit of your soil. For the Lord will again take delight in prospering you, just as he delighted in prospering your ancestors. When you obey the Lord your God by observing his commandments and decrees that are written in the book of the law, because you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Surely this commandment that I am commanding you today is not too hard for you, nor is it too far away. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will go up to us? Who will go up to heaven for us and get it for us so that we may hear it and observe it? Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will cross to the other side of the sea for us and get it for us so that we may hear it and observe it? No, the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart for you to observe. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second lesson is from Colossians, the first chapter. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. In our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. You have heard of this hope before in the word of the truth, the gospel that has come to you. Just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the world, so it has been bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God. This you learned from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and he has made known to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, as you bear fruit in every good work, and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power. And may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to Luke, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said to him, what is written in the law? What do you read there? The lawyer answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said to him, you have given the right answer. Do this and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, take care of him, and when I come back I will repay you whatever more you spend. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The lawyer said, the one who showed him mercy. Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Lord.
Except perhaps for the very young among us, I would venture to guess that most, if not all of us, know this parable, this story Jesus told. Even non-believers, non-churchgoers, non-Christians know this story. It's that familiar. Typically referred to as the parable of the Good Samaritan, though it's worth noting that the word good isn't actually there. It's not used there, at least. Still, this parable is often lifted up as an example of how to be a good neighbor, a good citizen, a good person, a righteous person, a person who does the right thing in any given moment, even when doing the right thing comes at a cost, potentially even comes at a great personal risk. While we may be able to identify with the various characters in the story, it's clear to all who hear it who the hero in the story is. In fact, after telling this parable, Jesus asked the lawyer, which of these three proved neighbor to the man? The lawyer's reply was the obvious answer, the one who showed him mercy. Then comes Jesus' mandate, go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. But notice, Jesus never actually answered the lawyer's question, who is my neighbor? Instead, Jesus gave him an illustration, told him a story of how to be a neighbor. And he did this by having the most unlikely character in the story be the one who showed compassion to a stranger in need. Therefore, that's become the takeaway. Usually, when we hear this parable retold, we tend to focus on the need to be like the Samaritan, the least likely of characters, the least likely of heroes, the quote-unquote good Samaritan, the one who went out of his way, above and beyond, to help a stranger in need by showing him mercy. Perhaps this might compel us to examine our own hearts by asking ourselves, who am I being a neighbor to? Who am I being a neighbor to? Or maybe even, who needs me to be a neighbor to them? Yet rather than seeing this merely as a story of morality that teaches us what it means to have compassion on our neighbors in need, I'm wondering what might happen if we were to see ourselves in this story by taking a step backwards and seeing in this story our own need for mercy. Not merely from a good Samaritan, but ones in need of God's mercy. People who know that we need God's mercy, for us to admit to ourselves that we are indeed in need of God's mercy would necessarily mean putting ourselves in the ditch today. And that, my friends, is an uncomfortable place to be. Truth be told, none of us wants to be the one who is needy. We'd much rather be the hero. We'd much rather be the one giving mercy than receiving it. But seriously, what difference might it make if we were to see ourselves as the one lying in the ditch, bloodied and beaten, and in need of mercy? By way of illustration, I recall hearing a story about another wise rabbi. I don't even remember when or where I heard it or read it, but the story went something like this. An old rabbi once asked his pupils how they could tell when the night had ended and the day had begun. Could it be, asked one of the students, when you can see an animal in the distance and tell whether it's a sheep or a dog? No, answered the rabbi. Another asked, is it when you can look at a tree off in the distance and tell whether it's a fig tree or a peach tree? No, answered the rabbi. After a few more futile attempts, the pupils finally demanded, well, what is it then? How can we know when the night has ended? You will know when the night has ended and the day has begun, said the wise rabbi, when you can look on the face of any man or woman and see that he or she is your brother or sister in Christ. Because if you cannot see this, it is still night. I mistakenly just added in Christ. The rabbi didn't say that. Still, he was wise. When you can see in the face of another your brother or sister, period. You see, I got to thinking about all that's wrong in the world in which we live. And I have to tell you, I believe that a new day has already dawned. And it is continuing to dawn. For as Christians, we remember that the light of Christ shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. And we can be the light too, by sharing God's mercy with everyone we meet. It is no longer night when we can look into the face of another human being and see in their face the very likeness of God. When we can see in their eyes a beloved sibling in Christ, children of the same heavenly parent. Furthermore, empowered by the Holy Spirit, as a community of faith, as we strive to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbors as ourselves, it will be a new day, and we will have a glimpse of heaven on earth. For surely we are, each and every one of us, the bloodied and beaten who find ourselves lying in the ditch and in need of God's mercy. This is true for all of us. Paul said it best, I think, when he said, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. We are the ungodly. We are the sinners. And we are in need of God's mercy. And it is our God who has compassion on us, who meets us in the ditch, in our suffering, and who binds up our wounds, who heals us. And it is our God who keeps on showing mercy, mercy that knows no bounds. For surely, when we recognize in ourselves our need for a God who is gracious and merciful, when we can admit to ourselves that we have nothing or can do nothing to deserve this mercy, yet by the grace of God we are able to accept it as a free gift given to us, trusting fully that we are, each and every one of us, a beloved child in the eyes and heart of God, then the darkness that envelops us and this world in which we live will give way to the light, the true light that enlightens everyone, the light that shines in the darkness. For it is in our having received mercy that we can be merciful. It is in knowing we are forgiven that we can be forgiving. And it is in being loved that we can love others. So that, by the power of God's Spirit dwelling within us, we too can go out into the world, the dark world, and heed Jesus' command to go and do likewise to all of those people that are still lying in the ditch and in need of God's mercy. Lord, have mercy. Mercy on us all. Amen.
Thank you.
whole church, let us confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. United in Christ and guided by the Spirit, we pray for the Church, the creation, and all in need. Good and gracious God, you have placed your word of love in the heart of your church. Fill your church with compassion that we bear the fruit of your healing mercy to a broken world. God of grace, hear our prayer. You created the earth with seeds sprouting up to new life. We pray for the flourishing of fruit trees and orchards, vines and bushes. Prosper the work of those who plant, tend, harvest, and gather. God of grace, hear our prayer. Show us your ways and teach us your paths of justice and love. Raise up community and national leaders to challenge unfair societal structures and to lead in compassion and love. God of grace, hear our prayer. Turn this community toward neighbors in need. Bring aid and support to those who are poor, beaten down, abused, forgotten, silenced, or avoided. We pray for all the support organizations in our community of Eugene and Springfield who care for the marginalized. God of grace, hear our prayer. Come near to all in need. Orchestrate kindness in the face of cruelty, hope where there is despair, love in the face of neglect, comfort where there is death, and healing in illness. We pray especially today for Terry Chapp, Arlene Fors, Claudia Hardwick, Dolores Lewis, Chris Prescott, and Alice Rothstein. God of grace, hear our prayer. We give thanks for the saints who have revealed your love and mercy in this life. Inspired by their witness, strengthen us to live in hope and comfort us in our grief. We especially give thanks for the life and witness of Dave Prescott as we entrust him to eternal life. God of grace, hear our prayer. God of every time and place, in Jesus' name and filled with your Holy Spirit, we entrust these spoken prayers and those in our hearts into your holy keeping. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts, that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence. In Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and at all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy God, through Christ our Lord, who rose beyond the bounds of death, and as he had promised, poured out your spirit of life and power upon the chosen disciples. At this, the whole earth exults in boundless joy. And so with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death and resurrection and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. To participate in communion, we will have two stations in the front. where we will practice intinction, taking the wafer and dipping it into the divided cup that has red wine and white grape juice. You enter to the center aisle and go back to your seats to the side aisles. Come, for all has been made ready.
Thank you.
Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us to the healing power of this gift of life. And we pray that in your mercy you would strengthen us through this gift, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. For the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Before receiving the benediction, a few notes about our life together. First, I just want to thank everyone again who participated and were involved or attended here or online the ordination and installation service yesterday. It was an amazing outpouring of love that I felt in this space. So I just want to thank you all. Second, you heard in the prayers, if you were not aware, that beloved member Dave Prescott died this past week, and our community ties together in grief with Chris and with all of us. You will hear in short order, watch your email, MailChimps, and so on, about the time of the service for him. Now, I invite you to rise for the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Before the dismissal, a note that we have a lot of leftover cookies and figs. Please join us for coffee hour afterward. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.